Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
This morning, pretty simple, and you know, it's just going to really be a reminder to, well, probably all of us in this room. If I could sum it up like this, this morning's message would be, keep your word to God and to man. Keep your word. You know, we hear of days gone by where somebody's word and a handshake was a binding contract. When that was done, you didn't question if the person was going to do it or follow through or any of those things. We said it, we shook hands, it's a done deal, and I don't have to think twice about it. It's going to be taken care of. And, you know, the generation in which we live this time on earth, you know, some of that changes. It still means something to a lot of people. Some of you probably weren't even born yet when that meant something, you know. So we hear about it. But this morning, you know, God's Word has a lot to say, and we're just going to look at a few little references that talks about being a people of our word. You know, as a Christian, I mean, that whole label kind of has an intrinsic value that if you bear his name, you are labeled as his follower, a Christian, that it should be that it's believed that what you say and what you do are going to match, and you're going to follow through on it. You're going to keep your word. You're going to keep your promise, because after all, that's what God is like, and that's who we follow, and that's who we, you know, worship, and that's who we look to change us and become like him. And so, you know, there's times I'll go to a business, you know, who after maybe repeated businesses or whatever, they just find out through conversation that, you know, I'm a pastor. And whether something has to be ordered or whatever, and I'll say, okay, and you know, what do you want me to, you know, put down as a deposit or something like that, or some business transaction, and they say, oh, don't worry about it. We normally ask for that, but you know, hey, don't worry about it. You're a pastor. I mean, if we can't trust you, who can we trust? There's still a little bit of that outlook sometimes in life as, hey, you're a pastor, you're a Christian. What you say, we'll trust and believe. If you promise to do something, and you'll follow through. You know, right now, I mean, there's this summer I took on a project and built a deck off the back of our house, you know. And I needed some parts ordered, a couple pieces that we were short in their estimation or whatever. And so it's just little brackets. And I sent him an email. He sent me an email back. I called him when it got, you know, delivered to us because the wrong part was ordered. And I said, hey, what do you want me to do with this? You want me to ship it back to you? He said, you know, when you come through town, just drop it off. And I said, you know, and you haven't given me a bill for the parts you're not going to send me that I do need. He says, yeah, I didn't get that out to you. Don't worry. I know you'll take care of it. I mean, you just don't hear that everywhere. And it's through some dealings I had with him, and he discovered that, you know, pastor of a church, and you just, I don't know, there's a value in it. And it's just a reminder this morning that we need to keep our word, and we need to be careful about the words we speak, that we just don't do it flippantly and make some commitment and some promise, and then we don't follow up on it. You know, I know most of you in this room, and I don't think you're malicious in any way that, yeah, I'm going to promise something and just to appease somebody, but I don't ever plan on doing it. I don't think you're malicious like that. You know, life, like always, it gets busy. We promise to do something. We say we're going to do something. And you know what? Life gets busy, and it's not intentional, but other things come up, and it kind of moves to the back burner, or it slips your mind. It's why I, you know, need the Holy Spirit to remind me and my wife to remind me Although I don't always appreciate the moments when I'm just about to leave the house and she'll say, remember, you said you would. I did that in the first service too that she was in, so you don't have to go, well, I'm going to go tell her what he just did. I'm kidding around. I need it because I forget. It's not intentional, but that's not an excuse, you know. Some of you use your device for notifications, you know, like my wife. She'll go into something, I don't know if it's called reminders or whatever, she'll plug stuff in. I sometimes send myself a text message, and I think they laughed at me because they said, you know, there's other stuff you can use. You have to send yourself a text message. It's like, well, I thought I was being all tech savvy, you know, being cool, being in. Anyhow, I still take a pencil and write stuff down. I'll grab a scrap piece of wood and write myself a note on it at home or on the garage, you know. Some of you are like, well, yeah, that's, you know, scrap piece of wood. That's a writing tablet, you know. I will. I'll write on it, and, you know. I mean, paper's made of wood, so don't look at me strangely, you know. To become people of our word and what we said, I want to read you a couple of scriptures here. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4 through 7, it says this, if you make a promise to God, keep your promise. Don't be slow to do what you have promised. God is not happy with fools. Give God what you promised to give him. It is better to promise nothing than to promise something and then not be able to do it. What a great phrase. It'd be better off if we didn't promise than to promise and disappoint, or promise and not follow through, and it creates havoc or a relational fracture, or we remember and then we condemn ourselves. It's better not to make the promise if we're not going to follow through. And so God's word says it's better to promise nothing than to promise something and not be able to do it. I know that we make promises, we make vows, it's things we intend. We make decisions sometimes with the sentiment of our heart. We have a feeling that this is really what I want to do, but it just gets buried in everything else. And we don't follow through. We don't follow through in a timely manner. We always know there's emergencies and things come up, but we still need to follow through. Listen to what else he says. It's better that you don't promise than to promise and not do it. So don't let your words cause you to sin. Listen, our word, our promise, our commitment, our vow, whatever it is, I want you to know that's a big deal to God. It's a big deal. I mean, he says right here in his word, don't let your words cause you to sin. In other words, unfulfilled promises. Words and vows that we made that we don't fulfill or we don't follow through on, it's sinful. It's classified as a sin. We can't just go, oh, yeah, it was forgetfulness and, you know, and I, you know, I'm sorry. And no, it's a sin. It's a big deal. Our word, our promise to God, to people, it matters. It says, don't say to the priest, I didn't mean what I said. If you do this, God might become angry with your words and destroy everything that you have worked for up to this point in your life. I mean, that's how big of a deal your word is. Turn to the person next to you and say, your word matters. Turn to somebody. Your word matters. Your word matters. Your promise matters. You should not let your useless dreams and bragging bring you trouble. In other words, oh yeah, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I promise and I'm going to, and we brag and we broadcast and we do, and then it just never happens. It says when we do that, it brings us trouble, and we should respect God more than that. Wow. Your words, every promise, every vow, they matter. And when we fulfill it, it shows respect to God. When we don't, it's a disrespect to Him. Look at this in Deuteronomy. If you make a vow to the Lord your God, don't avoid keeping it. The Lord your God expects you to keep it. In other words, His word might direct us, we might respond to it, or we might just come up with what we sense in our heart or spirit to make a promise to God, Once we make the promise, he expects it. Prior to the promise, he may not expect it. But once we say, yes, I will, he expects it. Listen, I've made a lot of promises to God. I remember in my younger years, you know, I would do something. It was sinful. It was wrong. I felt bad about it. I was under conviction. I had some guilt. And I would come, and I would even come up to the front of the church and have a private moment of prayer, and I'd say, God, forgive me. Please forgive me. I am so sorry. I will never do this again. You ever said that? Oh, okay, good. Some of you, you relate. The rest of you, well, I hope I'll catch up with you later on something. I will never do this again. And I learned that I did it again. And so I began to, at an early age, begin to be real aware what I promise God and what I don't promise him. Here's the thing. I would be better off asking forgiveness, receiving forgiveness, not promising that I would never do it again, but rather than that, say, God, I need your help to never do this again, and then go and live my life as if I made the promise and never do it again, and conduct myself different, because that proof backs up the kind of allegiance and vow that was really in our heart. And so I'm very careful to promise what I promise the Lord. I'm very careful. And even with people, you know, we sometimes, yeah, okay, I'll do that. Yeah, I can. Okay, I'll call. We've got to be careful. Even then, I sometimes feel a presence of the Lord when I'm about to make a commitment to somebody, and I'll feel this, like, are you, remember, you're going to have to do this, and I'm going to expect it from you for that person. You going to keep your word? You going to keep it? And so there's time to say, you know what, I can't commit to that, but I want you to know I'm going to consider it. And if I can do it, you'll see me, or I'll let you know. And so our follow-through, we can live as if we promised, though we never promised. And we are better off doing that than making a claim in God's presence and before people and never follow through. Your word matters. The Lord God expects you to keep the promise. You would be guilty of a sin if you didn't. If you didn't make a vow, you would not be guilty. Make sure you do what you say to the Lord in that vow that you give him. You freely chose to make your vow to the Lord and to people. Listen, nobody forces you into this. It is a choice that you make. What you say is a choice that you are making, and you are declaring a vow and a promise to someone. No one can make you do that. You choose to do that. Now, you might feel some obligation. You might be just doing it out of sentiment or compassion. It doesn't matter what the motivation is in the moment. It's that we chose to say it. And now, we're responsible for it. I know that you want to be one who exemplifies the Lord and lives with the light of Christ in your life. And there's a lot of great things that you do. And there's things that you do that impact your family, other believers, your community, all of that. But I will tell you, keeping your word ranks high above them. Being a person of your word. And this is a challenge for me. It's a challenge for you. We're all faced with it. In the New Testament, Jesus talks about it. Matthew chapter 5, basically it comes down to this, verse 37. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Let your yes be yes. Don't add to it. Don't try to explain around it. Just let your yes be yes. And it's how he instructs us to live and conduct our life. I'm gonna tell you a little story here. You know, giving a promise or a word is a guarantee. It's like if we wear the label Christian, it just says guarantee. Guarantee, warranty, it's a promise. Because that's who Christ is, and we follow him. So my wife and I, we're not really Black Friday shoppers. She used to go once in a while with the kids or whatever, but, you know, she gets tired at like 8 o'clock. Can barely make it home without a coffee. You know, she's just worn out. They go wait in lines all night and do all that stuff. And so she's kind of fizzled on the Black Friday thing. Black Friday is, you know, I went once, I think, and I forget if I was with a couple family members. I just made them wait in line, and I went to Perkins and got a piece of pie because it wasn't far from the line or store I was waiting in line for. But it was, I don't know if it was last Black Friday or the one before it, and, you know, day after Thanksgiving, and some of the family, they're making their plans to go stand on lines, and I'll go shop here, and whatever they do. And I just kind of listen to it, and okay. And then stay home or do something else. So, on this Black Friday, I was just kind of, you know, the newspapers get spread all over because they're all making their game plan, you know, buy the thick paper and all the ads, and I was just kind of looking through stuff, and I happened to notice a store that said up to 70% off on appliances. Now, the fridge-freezer combo that we have had in our kitchen, you know, it was nice, but there was a water thing that stopped working, and it came with the house, and, you know, it's nice. I mean, we're grateful for it. But I said to Sue, I said, hey, look at this. We could take and move that one downstairs. It can be an overflow. It can be by the back door on the lower level of the house where, you know, people come in and out by the patio area or whatever. And, you know, we can have cold drinks in there and you can put overflow, you know. She's like, okay. Well, I said, well, yeah. And I said, look at this model here. Look at the price on that. It was less than half price. So I'm thinking, you know. Sue, if you want this and we get there and it makes sense, I want you to know that I will buy this for you. And it won't even be a Christmas present because I'm just an exceptional man. She said amen in the first service, so, you know, anyhow. So we went and we got the fridge or whatever and, you know, you get the sale price and then we got an extra 5% off and blah, 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 use all the rewards, whatever. So we get this fridge freezer and set up a time. They deliver it. It comes. We like it. It's great. And then this spring, the ice machine never really worked right. And I thought it was more operator error. You know, I get the manual out and, you know, what's this and that. And I got to be careful not to take everything apart because I don't want to void a warranty. Right? So we're buying 20-pound bags of ice all the time at the store, bringing it home. And, of course, it comes out nice and frozen. You travel in your vehicle, and it starts to melt just a little bit. And then when you get home, because it melted a little bit, and you put it in the freezer, when you take it out again, it's one big cube. It's froze again. And so, you know, I got to take this and drop it on my workbench, you know, and break it into the little inside the bag, obviously, you know. And then you dump some into the tray. And it's just a huge kind of inconvenience, you know, because, you know, we like convenience. So finally, this summer, I said, you know, I'm calling. It's under warranty. I called the 800 number. They said, no problem, Mr. Wayne, so we could see your warranty. We're going to come out. We'll send a guy, and he's going to fix it. Okay, great. Guy comes out a week and a half later, shows up, doesn't have the part that would go in there. And so he says, hey, I got to order it, and, you know, me or someone else will be back. I said, hey, that's fine, no problem, I get it. So he pulls his computer up, orders the part. It's supposed to arrive at our address prior to the installment date. And so this is a long story, so just sit back. Anyhow, so shows up. There's this big box that came, and I'm thinking, this is a pretty big box for, you know, a part like this, but whatever. He comes, he opens it up, and discovers that there's 8 of them. He goes, I don't know why they sent 8. And I said, well, because it looks like you ordered it. No, I didn't tell him that. So he goes to the problem, takes out the whole ice unit and puts a whole new one in and whatever, and it still did not work. So now he's, you know, doing research and I'm, you know, whatever. He says, you know, I think I know the problem. It's down here in the back, and there's this little pump filter thing and whatever. And he says, so I'm going to have to order that, and me or someone else will come back out. I said, hey, no problem. You know, in the meantime, we're just buying ice cubes and busting them on the bench and putting them in the glass. And, you know, not a big deal. So now another install guy comes back because they... the install guy was about to come back, and they contacted me and say, listen, we haven't received the part yet. He's like, oh. And so he calls the office. They send me an email. We've canceled the install date. So this is like coming up on the third visit to our house. And then they set up a new install date, and I should receive the package. I never got the part in the mail. I contacted them and said, hey, listen, I haven't got it. We're going to have to change the install date. And they're like, oh, let me look this up. Okay, we'll cancel that. Oh, that part's on back order. I said, okay. So we'll contact you when, you know, it's going to happen. So some time goes by. I get another notification. It says, hey, we got an install date. It should be coming to you. And I had to contact them back and say, hey, the install's tomorrow, and there's no part here. So we got to cancel this. And then, so they send me, okay, I will fix that. And then they send me an email. It's back ordered. Then a message came on my phone, an email. It said, hey, you know, got an update for you. We still can't get the part. So it's back ordered. Then another notification comes. It's back ordered. You know, so this is just going on for, you know, some months and weeks, whatever. You know, I'm not highly frustrated. It's like, hey, you know, whatever. It'll happen. I thought. So anyhow, I finally got this email that says, we can't get the part, and so we want to credit you $2,200 to go pick out a whole new fridge and freezer combo, and we'll take the old one. Okay, I'm good with that. I told Sue, and we set up a time. We went to the store. We looked around. We selected one, and we told the salesperson. They said, okay, we'll go, and they're going to order it. And so they order it, and I go, great. And they say, okay, here's your bill, zero. I said, sweet. Now, if I would have, you know, only spent $1,200, it's not like we would have got the rest in cash. They just give you a store credit you can spend up to. So that's what we did. And so they send me a delivery date. Well, that delivery date was this last week. And so they showed up. So some of you are going, oh, yeah, I know what's happening. No, hang on. We didn't even get to the juicy part of this. Remember, this is all about a guarantee, a warranty, and keeping your word. Oh. So, in preparation, the night before, Sue took the freezer stuff out and put it in the other freezer. So that day, when I know the window of time that they're showing up, I begin to take all the stuff out of the refrigerator and put it in boxes and carry it out and put it partly in the other fridge, some in the cold garage, and, you know, and I got the fridge out. I got the water line disconnected. I've unplugged it. I've got it out, slid over so it's easy for them to get to, and, you know, cleaned out where the new one was going. You know, just stuff I do every day for her. No, I'm kidding. So they arrive. Hey, great. Hey, guys, team of three. They said, wow, you know, we had to drive over 2 hours to get here. No delivery on the way, no delivery on the way back. I'm like, well, I'm glad you guys made it. Wow, it just seems like they should use somebody closer. They said, well, you know, this company, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to tell you the story. And, you know, they're in some trouble. So they had to use this team, you know. So they come and I take him inside, and, you know, the crew captain or whatever he is, he's looking around. Oh, great, okay, we'll start taking the doors off this one, you know, because they felt like they had to do that to get it out. And so they're starting to disassemble this. The other guy, he's dropping the lift gate, and the fridge is coming down. And they start, you know, they cut open the carton and take it out, and, you know, and I'm standing out there, and I go, oh, there's a gouged ding in the side of it. I said, oh, and they were like, oh, listen, we didn't do that. I said, hey, I know that. I was here. You took it out of the cart, and I get it. Stuff happens, you know. And he's like, well, do you still want to accept it or do you not want to? And I said, you know, man, I'm not really picky normally and I don't complain or anything. I said, it's just not really how I deal with people. And I said, but, you know, we were kind of expecting a new unit to come new, you know, not with a little bit of damage. He says, well, I'm going to call them. And he sends the other guy in, hey, stop taking apart the old fridge. Well, a little late, but, you know, pieces. And they say, stay here, Mr. Williamson, because if you're not going to accept this, which is fine, we understand, but they're going to want to talk to you. I said, okay, I'll wait. And so they said, here's the phone. They want to talk to you. I said, okay. I said, hi, Mr. Williamson. I said, hi. Yeah, sorry that had a little gouger ding in it. And so I understand that you're not going to accept it and you want us to bring out a newer unit. I said, yeah, you know, that'd be all right. You know, I mean, they're going to put the old one back together. We'll just reload it and use it till another one comes. And she says, well, listen, I know they've kind of come a long way in all of this. And so we want to offer you a compensation for this if you would keep it. And I said, well, I don't know. She goes, we will put 700,000 points on your account, which is equivalent to $700. Now, initially in my mind, I was like, I just want a new unit, you know. But all of a sudden, $700 that I have to spend before the middle of November, that I can purchase something from the store or online. And all of a sudden, the gouge and ding started to look a little smaller. $700? I mean, I'm thinking they're going to say, hey, for $50, will you keep it, you know. The compensation thing wasn't my idea. I just want to replace. They offered a replacement to me. I didn't ask for one. I wasn't complaining about the back order. Nothing. They just initiated it. And so it shows up, and now it's got a little damage to it, and it's supposed to be a new unit, and supposed to arrive, you know, the guarantee is undamaged, and if not, we'll take it back and bring you one, and now she's saying, hey, we'll give you compensation. I said, wait, you're going to give me $700 on my account that I can purchase other stuff if I keep this? She said, yes. So Sue is not there, and I made a unilateral executive decision. I said, okay, I think Sue will be happy. I mean, I might spend 25 of that on her. I mean, Christmas is coming. I'm kidding you. So I'm thinking, hey, $700, that's a lot of tools. Anyhow, so I said, now, and so the guys are going, do we take the fridge out? Do we put it in? What are you going to do? And they hear me, you're going to take the 700. Smart, wow. So they're starting to bring out the old one. They're preparing to bring in the new one. And I said, now, ma'am, thank you for the compensation. That's very, very, very generous. You know, these guys are going to put the new one in and take out the old one. And the new one, or they're, you know, it's going to be damaged and, you know, I don't want to sound suspicious in any way, but I don't know you. I mean, can you send me an email confirming this is what you're going to do or something? Because if she's just saying this and they're leaving me the damaged new one and taking the old one and they're down the road. Hi, Sue. I took a damaged unit on your behalf. And, you know, how come there's a ding in it? Well, why did you accept it? Well, they told me they'd give me something, but now they didn't. You know, and I have to explain all this, you know, and then I get to, oh, I should have been here, you know. So, you know, I says, she goes, well, go to your computer and you'll see reward points come up or whatever. I said, okay, and she said, it might take a day or so. And I said, well, you know, is there anything you can send me that, you know. So she says, it'll show up and, you know, so I trusted and the guys are still there working, and so I go to my online account and look, and hey, $250 showed up. And I went, Well, that's not bad, but that's not what they told me. And, you know, so I get it. The guys are like, oh, that's not right. They shouldn't do that. I said, yeah, that's kind of what I thought. So they're like, should we wait and take the new one out and bring the old one back? You know, I said, well, let me call it, you know, an 800 number. Call the 800 number. And got through to somebody finally before the crew left. And I said, this is what was told. This is what went on. This is, you know, blah, blah, blah. I explain everything. And they said, yeah, I don't have the authority to go on your rewards account and move stuff around or whatever. I said, well, you know, is there somebody there that maybe could help me with this that might have the authority? And no, we need you to call this other 800 number. Okay? 800 number and get the person on there, and they're like, oh, we'll be able to help you, no problem. By this time, the guy's got the new one in. It's all hooked up. The old one's on the truck, and they're going. I said, hey, thanks. You know, and they said, we'll write a report up to who we report to, some delivery kafit, blah, 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 blah. And I said, great, thank you. And so now I'm on the line with a person, and I'm saying, and they said they could help me, and then they said, well, I can't help you. I need to transfer you to some other department. I said, okay. I was on hold for almost 40 minutes because I looked at my phone, and it tells you how long you're on the call. And person comes back on and say, oh, I'm sorry about putting on hold so long and that this has happened and all of that. Can you tell me, you know, kind of what's going on? I said, okay. So it's the third time I'm telling the story to somebody. And, of course, they're taking me all the way. Well, I understand you had some replacement done first, and then what happened with, you know, I had to go back to the beginning. So I did this, and they... I need to put you on hold. I was like, no, please. I said, this has been a long phone call already. I've been on hold. I've been talking to a few people. I've been through all. I said, you know, I'm being nice about this. I'm a little frustrated. You can understand, but I, you know, please don't. You know, and I'm gonna put you on hold, and then they got back to me a few moments later and said, you know, we're gonna transfer you to somebody who should be able to help you. Good, thank you. I'm on hold. By now, I've got their what they play you memorized. I'm quoting it as I'm listening to it. I'm going through the ad and explanation just like they are. And then all of a sudden, I hear pick up, and I go, oh. I say, hello? Hello? And then my clock stopped counting the phone call. They disconnected me. So I go back to an 800 number because now I've got about three or four of them. Okay? So I go back to an 800 number. I'm on hold. You'll be taken in the order. Your wait time is about, I just said, I don't want to hear it. So I'm listening and waiting and waiting, and someone gets on. And they say, now, what's going on? Oh, I see some of this. Now, tell me about this. I have to tell this story again. I was on the phone that day with this benefit contract warranty guarantee company, blah, 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 for about 3.5 hours. I would have rather gone to the dentist twice. So, tell the story. Oh, we should be able to help you. I'm so sorry this happened. I said, yeah, thank you. I've had a few other people from your company tell me that. So Can we resolve this maybe? Well, let me look at. So now what happens is you have been overcompensated, and the $250 that they put on my account, they took away. Now, the delivery guys are gone. My old fridge that didn't have any dings or gouges in is gone. And the new dinged and gouged one is in my kitchen, working. Hallelujah. And I'm like, wait, wait. And she says, you know, let me transfer you to somebody. I said, no, no. No, let me transfer you. And I didn't wait long, and someone was on, and she was talking to me, and she said, that was, you know, that's a clearance unit. That was a clearance. I said, no, 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 no. This was a fridge that I didn't buy from the floor on the store. They ordered it. It came from a warehouse. The guys told me today it was from a warehouse. I watched them open the carton. Please don't tell me this is a clearance item. It's as is, and I bought it like this from the store. She says, nope, this is a. I said, no, 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 no. No. And I said, you know, is there someone, do you have a supervisor that I said, I'm not trying to be, you know, difficult here, but is there a supervisor that I could speak to? And now at this point, I'm seeing her read off a card. I am a trusted employee, and we are able to, you know, and I said, okay, thanks. So do you have somebody you answer to? Could I just talk to them, please, about this? No, I am a trusted employee of the. I said, wait. Listen, if this was your kitchen and your appliance, and you are getting a new one to replace the old one, and the company initiated it, you didn't ask, you didn't beg, you didn't fight, you didn't complain, and it shows up and it's got a ding gouge in the side, and you're expecting a new one. I mean, are you okay with this? Yes, this is a clearance. I said, no! No, 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 no. If this, I'm asking you, I know this is, you don't have a card for this one. What I'm telling you, I know you don't have a card for this. Don't read me the old one. I'm asking, are you okay with, no, 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 ma'am. If this was, would you be satisfied with it? I said, because this seems to be unacceptable now. Because now the gouge ding is starting to look bigger to me. She says, finally she said, no, I would not be. I said, okay. So, but, and then she went back to reading her cards. She said, you have to call this other 800 number. I said, no, no, no. She said, I'm sorry, sir, you have to call this 800 number. So I called the 800 number. Then I finally got through to a guy named Marcus. Marcus says, sir, we should be able to fix this for you. I said, sweet. Oh, so good to talk to somebody who's going to resolve this for me. Marcus works his way through, and he's about to put you on hold and talk to somebody. I said, oh, no, no, no. He said, don't worry. We're not going to disconnect. You're going to be fine. He goes away for a while. I'm on hold. He comes back. Thanks for waiting, all of that stuff. And he says, yeah, we are having some technical difficulty right now with our computer. I'll call you back in 2 minutes. I said, Marcus. Marcus, I said, no, no, no. He said, no, really, I'll call you back in 2 minutes. He goes, okay, Mr. Williamson. I said, wait, wait. Give me your direct line. We don't have a direct line here. I said, come on, you got to have a direct. No, this is the 800 number. I said, okay, do you have an extension? He gives me, he says, my extension is number 6. Who has a one-digit extension? I mean, we're a church here, you know, that isn't super huge. We even have two-digit extension numbers here in the church. I'm thinking, Marcus, he says, so, you know, we'll call you by 6. 6 is like when you call an 800 number to say, push 1 if blah, 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 push 2. Number 6 was push 6 if it's blah, 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 blah. It's not getting you to anybody. It's a whole bunch of people, and they'll take your call in the order it's received. So, right, somebody's going, that's right, I've been through this. So here's the thing. Marcus is ready to hang up. I said, well, do you have my phone number? He goes, oh, yeah, I should probably get that. Marcus is lying to me. I give him my number. Okay, I'll call you in 2 minutes. I said, okay. That was Tuesday. I'm still waiting for Marcus to call me. It's all right. So I called the particular store, spoke to the sales individual. Oh, Mr. Winston, that's not right. We will take care of this, and we'll get back to you. Next day, I get a voicemail from them saying, we've called, we've taken care of everything. You will hear from the store. That was on Wednesday. I know hear from them. Now, I'm so thankful for this whole experience. One, I'm really grateful because I didn't lose my cool with anybody. Hallelujah. Our Christianity is more important than that. Doesn't mean I don't ever lose my cool, but that day the Holy Spirit just helped me for 3.5 hours on the phone, not to mention the whole dialogue with the install guys. So, and I'm so grateful for this experience because the Lord, I believe, spoke to me. I'm going to share it with you. I know how a person feels when someone else is not keeping their word to me. And he says to me, how might people feel when my followers, New Life, and people don't keep their word, what they have said to others? Because it's supposed to be a guarantee. I mean, we have people who are here this morning who are part of the church, or people who come and visit, and they're broken. They need replacement parts, because we all do at times. Something's broken in me, and I need replacement. Or I need someone just to listen to me and do like customer service work. Or I'm going to listen to you, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to make a promise to you, and I'm going to back up a guarantee, and I'm going to keep my word. I know how that feels when somebody keeps their word to me, or when a company says, you're under guarantee and we're going to take care of this. Or there isn't some bait and switch thing. Or we just didn't get forgotten. You see, being a Christian, it is innate with the word that you and I are people of our word. There's people that come and go from this place. We might say, yeah, I'll give you a call. Or, yeah, you know, they're hurting. We'll go for coffee. Or we'll. And we never make the call. We never follow through. And it might be in the moment because we mean well. We might have compassion in the moment. But it was a vow to that person. It was a promise to them. And this is a challenge for you and I. Because God looks at our word. And now he expects us to fulfill it to him and to others. That's being the living church. I want you to listen to this. Psalm 15, verse 4 says, keep your word even when it costs you. In other words, I made a promise, but I didn't know it was going to take that long. Or I made a promise, and now I discovered as I'm doing this for this person, maybe I'm repairing something. I need parts. I got to go get parts. Now it's going to take me twice as long, and now I've got to, hey, we got to keep our word even when it costs us. Any commodity in our life, whether it's money or time or whatever it is, even when it costs us, that's not an excuse if there's cost to not keep our word. James chapter 5. In James chapter 5, James addresses a particular group of people. He goes through a lot of things about what's happened and how they live and where they've been wrong. Then he goes in to encourage the brothers how to, be patient, how not to grumble, how not to, do this and how to endure suffering. And then he works his way down, okay, to verse 12. And he just gave us a whole bunch of things on how to live life. And then he throws in these words. But above all, in other words, all the important things I've just written you, all the important things I've just said to you, we should do, but above even those things, he says this. Let your yes be yes. In other words, all the people who you know who maybe aren't believers, and they get glimpses of your life, of how you live and what you do, what will speak to them loudly is when you say yes, you follow through. You keep your word. You're a person of your word. That will get their attention the most. They will say, man, you are rare. In this day and age, you are rare, and that got my attention. You want to win the lost, and you want a people around you who you have continued relationship with. When they see that you keep your word, that your word matters to you and to your God, and you live like that, you are making a very high impact. And it is a greater contrast than even from generations ago, because people keep their word less and less, and when you do, it has a higher impact. This isn't about whether they take advantage of you. This isn't about any of those things. This is about being a person who is pursuing God, imitating God, becoming like God where they live. It is what's expected of us regardless of their response. Above all, he says, I've given you a lot of things, but above all, say it, above all, above all, let your yes be yes. It's hard to keep track sometimes of all the things we've said in the day that promise somebody something. But somehow we've got to do it. And the Holy Spirit's got to help me. The people around me got to help me. Be people of His Word, of their Word. Keep our Word to God and to man. I want you to stand with me, please, all over this room. There's a lot of broken and hurting people. And it's one thing to show some compassion. It's another thing to put compassion in action. And if you promise, if you should promise them something, if you should say that you will do something, follow through. Follow through. Otherwise, don't make the promise. Don't make the vow. Don't make the commitment. But I hope that we are moved on enough that we would, our conduct would show as if we did make a promise. We want to be the living church. We want to be used by the Lord. We want to give Him a good name. We want to have a good reputation. Then be a person of your promises, your vows, your commitments. Because your words, they matter to God and they matter to people. I wonder when people come in here and experience you and experience the Lord, and do they feel like they've got good customer service? I don't mean to degrade what happens, but have you ever walked into a place and got good customer service? You walked in a place and not got good customer service? Have you dealt with warranty and guarantees and they didn't come through? You see, that's how they feel when you and I make great claims and don't follow through. Let us be keepers of our word.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.